All right, Romans chapter number 3 tonight for the reading of the Word of God. And we, last time we were together, we were in the first few verses here in this chapter. And there's a little something going on here I want to touch on tonight and move on down through the chapter some. The Bible said in verse 5, "But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance?" He said, "I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, yet am I judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just." If you think about these verses tonight, just on their face, the face value of them, it might be a little bit hard to understand what's being said here, but Paul is talking to the Jew, and what he's trying to, the Jews thought they had an advantage, and in a sense they did, because they had the law of God, and so Paul's trying to teach them about the grace of God, and teach them, we're going to look at tonight two things, the universal calamity in sin, and then the universal cure for sin. That's what we're going to look at in the rest of the chapter. And so they're thinking along the lines, later in chapter number 6, if you look at verse number 1, it gives you an idea. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, the way they're thinking is, well, maybe the more we go in sin, then the more God has an opportunity to reveal his mercy and to reveal his grace. And the Apostle Paul was trying to straighten them out on that. If you look at verse 15, I think, in chapter number 6, he said, What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And then the Apostle Paul said, God forbid. That is not the idea. Something that came out Sunday in the message that we need never forget. There's enough mercy and enough grace to cover every sin. But every sin carries a consequence with it. And years ago, I actually made this statement. I'm not sure if it was shortly before I was saved or shortly after I was saved. And I know I thought it in my heart, and I know at times it had come out of my mouth. And that is this. I would say something like, well, if a man's not going to get saved, you might as well just live it up. You understand what I mean? But actually, that's not good advice. Because if you study the Bible, at the great white throne judgment, the lost are going to be judged according to their works. Is that not right? And in other words, I believe the Bible teaches that there are degrees of punishment in hell. And again, that's going back to the consequences of the sin that a man has committed. And so I've often said this, and it's true. I don't want, nor will I get, ever, the best that hell has to offer. Amen? Because I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. But Paul is trying to get across here. He said, some did not believe. Shall their unbelief make the faith of the faithfulness of God without effect? He said, God forbid. So, that's enough of that. I want to move on in verse number 9 and look it down through here some verses tonight, if God would help us, and see some things that I hope will be a blessing to us. While we were praying, or actually right after we prayed tonight, God put a song on my heart. I'm not going to sing it, but I looked up the lyrics to it a while ago. It's been a long time since I heard it. Sister Tanita, I'd be glad if you guys, somebody that sings, could pick it up. Have you ever heard of the song entitled "People Need the Lord"? How many's ever heard that song? People, it's a good song, isn't it, Sister? You gonna sing it, Sis? No, okay. I'm doing my best. I'm working on Cindy. Amen. Have you ever heard it, Brother Ralph? People need the Lord. I'm going to read the lyrics in a minute. You'll understand. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. Now, you say, preacher, what kind of people need the Lord? I hope before I get done tonight, you're going to understand that every kind of people needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. The sin problem and the calamity and sin is universal. It's across the board. Jesus is the only man that ever walked the face of this earth. Though he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was holy. He was harmless. He was spotless. He was the Lamb of God. But outside of Jesus, every one of us has a sin problem. And that's what Romans is going to teach here tonight. And Paul's not only going to teach the Gentile, but the Jew as well. In verse number 9, he said, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That reminds me of the fellow that ran up to the preacher and said, I found the Lord. The preacher looked at him and said, I didn't know he was lost. Amen? Listen, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you and I were lost. Now, I've brought this out before, and I think I need to stop right now and just bring it out again just quickly. Somebody says, well, what? Well, if there's none that seeketh after God, then why would Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55, why would he say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near? And I think this is important. If you really understand this, it makes the grace of God sweeter. Beloved, listen, he always initiates it. The night I got saved, I wasn't looking for him. But hallelujah. He was looking for me. Does that make any sense? And then when he nudged my heart, when he knocked at my heart's door, that's when he can be found. You can seek the Lord, but beloved, listen, in the grace of God, that Paul is not trying to confuse anybody. He's saying, we didn't understand. There's none that seeketh after God, but thank God somebody prayed for me. Thank God the Holy Spirit came where I was. Thank God the Holy Spirit convicted me. And thank God the Holy Spirit gave me an opportunity to seek the Lord while that he may be found. And I think it's important to understand this. He's not always going to be able to be found. There are people, that sign's still up down in Carter's Valley. I wish somebody'd change it. You're never too lost to be saved. I'm telling you, that's just not scriptural. There are people that's been turned over to a reprobate mind that'll never be saved. They might live to be 100, but they'll never be saved. And there's also people, beloved, listen, that have said no to the blessed Holy Ghost one time too many. And they're living and breathing and walking and functioning, but they're a dead man walking. They're dead in their trespasses. You say, preacher, do you know who they are? No. I don't know who they are. I'll tell you this. What we're going to see in the universal thing about sin tonight, I hope, is that everybody needs the Lord. Well, just tell everybody. Amen. We shouldn't pass over anybody. I think of a preacher one time that they needed a bus in their bus ministry. And he brought out how that he didn't believe you should just go to the rich neighborhoods. And you shouldn't go to just the poor neighborhoods. You ought to go to all neighborhoods. Black neighborhoods, white neighborhoods, it don't matter. People need the Lord everywhere. And he told the story about sitting on the swing and talking to an old lady. She lived very poor. At least to look, you would think she was very poor. Guess who bought the bus? The lady that he sat on the swing with. What I'm trying to say is, beloved, listen, you can judge outwardly if you want to, but we shouldn't. God's looking on the heart, amen? And God knows what the need is. And so tonight he said, there's none righteous, no, not one. And he said, there's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And he said, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp is under their lips. You'd think he's describing Congress, but he's not. He's describing mankind. But their whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The Word of God said, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world, this is where God spoke to my heart about the first part in the message, that all the world may become guilty before God. I praise God for His plan. What would you do if you were faced with what God was faced with? Well, God really wasn't faced with it. God already knew, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, God already had a plan in place. But I thank God that He had a plan where it didn't matter if a man was poor or rich. It didn't matter what color he was. It didn't matter what kind of education he had. God had a plan that He would come and seek and save those who were lost, and that individual could trust the Lord if he would. The Bible said here in verse number 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Father, help me tonight for just a little while to be a blessing to the precious people of Bible Way that have gathered here tonight. Some maybe, Lord, will catch it on the internet later. I just pray, God, that you would help us tonight to realize, our Father, that everybody we run into, everybody, everywhere, either, Lord, they're saved or they're lost. Lord, without Jesus, the whole world is lost. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'll speak to our hearts and help us to see some things that would, Lord, encourage us to be a better witness, to be more fervent in prayer, to understand, our Lord, that it's only the grace of God that we're not still in our lost condition, dead in our trespass and sin. Help us to be a blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I think tonight that as we look at the universal calamity and sin, there's a couple of things the Lord wants us to see. Let's turn in Psalm chapter 53 tonight, verse 1 through 3. How many understand that the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees? You know what that means? That means he knew the Bible. That means that he knew that old book. Amen. The Old Testament. He had a good idea of what God was saying in the Old Testament. I want you to look tonight at what I just read in the book of Romans. Let's compare it with Psalm chapter 53 and verse number 1 down through verse number 3. The Word of God said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. The Word of God said, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become, what's that next word? Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You might think you're somebody. The Holy Ghost ever comes your way. I'm going to tell you right now, beloved, listen, you're going to realize something. You're filthy. And every good deed you've ever done is just like a filthy rag in the sight of God. Our righteousnesses, that means the best we can do, beloved, listen, is filthy, like a filthy rag. And I won't go into the details of what that's talking about, but I do know this. My wife just told me today, I use a lot of microfiber cloths, and I get them nasty, you know, and then she'll take them and wash them. And she told me today, she said, honey, I've got you a stack of cloths ready to go back up to the shop. And then they look good. You say, preacher, how come they look good? Because they've been washed. There's only one way we can look good. There's only one way we can be used in the eyes of God, and that's because we've been washed. The Apostle Paul listed a big, long list of sin, and he looked at the church of Corinth. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed. You're justified. You're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we are in the book of Psalms. Every one of them has gone back. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Yet you can go through the world. You could just walk up to a stranger. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Am I right or am I wrong? Everybody's doing good. Everybody's doing good. I like what David Ring preached one time. David Ring had cerebral palsy. Jerry Falwell used to have him on his program a lot up in Lynchburg, Virginia. And David preached a message entitled, I'm Not Okay and You're Not Okay. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I love to hear that man preach. I love to hear him sing Victory in Jesus. I remember when he looked over at the piano and the pianist said, what key? He said, don't matter. I'll be all of them before I get done. That's what he said. He'd go to singing Victory in Jesus. There wouldn't be a dry eye in the house. When he'd get done singing, he'd say, I got cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? What's our excuse tonight for telling a lost and dying world, for not telling a lost and dying world, amen, that there's hope? And it's not in the White House, but it's in, amen, the blood of Jesus. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness tonight. The Word of God said here, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Let me look at another passage of Scripture just quickly. Look at Psalm, I think it's chapter 14. Look at this with me tonight. I believe the Apostle Paul was aware of these Scriptures. But listen to me carefully. The Apostle Paul, before he got saved, he knew the Word of God. You had to know the Word of God to be a Pharisee. But he didn't know the God of the Word. Listen to me, you don't have to agree with me. I believe there's a multitude of people in the world that know the Word of God better than I do. But I tell you, there's not a man living that can know the God of the Word any better than I do. Listen, He's my Savior. He's my Heavenly Father. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. He's the one I serve. He's the reason I live. He's my whole purpose in life. Look what the Word of God said here in verse number 1 of chapter number 14. The Word of God said, we're in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Here it comes again, the word fool. Let me just say this. There's a man stood last night and called the President of the United States a fool. I thought to myself, there's a Bible that has something to say about that. That's dangerous. I understand arguing. I understand trying to get your point across. But I don't believe you need to call somebody a clown. You don't need to call them a fool. Amen. Amen. I never did call Obama a fool. I never did call him a clown. I believe there needs to come a day in America when at least there's respect for the office once again. And respect for the officer once again. I'm talking about the police officers in our land. I'm talking about the military officers. Respect for that position. He said, there's no God. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. They're corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now, you know, the Christian today, when we think about abomination, the first sin that comes to our mind is the sin of sodomy. Right or wrong? I mean, you think that's an abomination in the sight of God. But let me give you this. The Bible said, these six things doth the Lord God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. The first one was a proud look. And the last one was he that soweth discord among the brethren. Is that not right? That's right there in the Bible. Amen. So listen, it's not just sodomy that's an abomination in the eyes of God. But beloved, there are other things. He said, they've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He said, they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I believe the Apostle Paul in his background, that he understood these Scriptures mentally before he got saved. But I tell you, after he got saved, he now knows what it means. Listen, the Pharisee of Pharisees, he thought he was cleaner than anybody else. He thought he was better than anybody else. Oh, beloved, listen, I wanted to do an illustration tonight, and I didn't have time to get it together. I wanted to take a piece of paper, Bob, out of the shop, a piece of that white paper, and I wanted to cut it almost straight. And I could hold it up here, and I'd say, is this straight? And I just about guarantee you all would say, yes, it's straight. and then just lay a 4-foot level right alongside of it. You'd be able to see the gaps between it and the level. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? We can think we're straight. We can think, beloved, we're doing real good. But you stand us up alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's gaps. There's holes. We're filthy. We're not clean in the sight of God. Amen. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. He might have been riding a high horse when he hit the road, but on the way, God got his attention. And now he knows, I wasn't seeking after God that day. I was looking for another Christian to put in jail. But God came seeking me and made the difference in my life. What a blessing that is. Now you understand, there's none. And I believe when Paul said that, he's in his heart, Bob is saying, me included, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. No, not one. I believe Paul understood it fully. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. I want to ask you something tonight. If you opened a sepulcher, what would be the first sensation that you would get? It stinks. I don't know about you tonight, beloved, but I don't like to be around something dead. Amen? It stinks. I mean, you can just summertime, you can get a deer, something hit, laying in the ditch somewhere. I mean, it stinks. Amen? It stinks. Well, you know what God said about you and I? Before we come to Christ, listen, we stink. That's how nasty, that's how appalling it was in the nostrils of God. But I tell you, Paul goes on in Corinthians later, and he says, now we can be a sweet savor. Ain't that good? Amen. That God can take something that rotten and that dead and that filthy and that stinking and bring glory after he changes it into his own image. Amen. That's a blessing to me tonight. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I don't know if I've ever told this story at the church or not, but I won't tell all of it. It's unbelievable. But I will tell it like this. When I was coming up, Brother Preston, I was taught better than to use God's name in vain. I was taught that that was wrong. I bet you were too, weren't you? And when I was a kid, Miss Cindy, it always bothered me to hear somebody say that, to use God's name in vain. Listen, I'm talking about this tongue. I got to be a teenager, got to be cool. How many knows what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, Brother Larry, it didn't bother me so much anymore. I got in the workforce, and it was everywhere. It was all around me, Brother John, and I was hardened to it. It didn't bother me a bit. The next thing you know, I worked in steel at that time. I'd get burnt bad, or I'd drop something on my foot, or I'd get cut bad. And guess what was coming out of my mouth? Beloved, the very thing that at one time I'd been taught was not right. At one time it bothered me. And now that poison was coming right out of my own mouth, out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaking. My heart was not right with God. And so it was running out of my mouth. You know, we don't like to hear it. Yeah, I've heard people say, need to be quiet, the preacher's here. You know what I tell them, Brother Wayne? There's somebody a whole lot more important than a preacher who was here before I ever got here. He's listening. He's not just listening, honey. He's recording. We're going to give an account for every idle deed, every idle word. That's what the Word of God said. And beloved, I believe tonight with all of my heart, when the Word of God said his mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, the universal calamity and sin, and yet, beloved, you can maybe have a good moral person that maybe never said a curse word in their life, and yet they're just as guilty, and that's what Paul's going to get to. You remember over in the book of Galatians, he said a man could keep the whole law and yet offend in one point. and he's guilty of all. Beloved, that's what Holy Ghost conviction is. When he comes to where we are, he throws the book at us. It's no longer that we just said something that wasn't right, or we used God's name in vain, or we took something that didn't belong to us, or we looked at something we shouldn't have looked at, or maybe it, even in a child, beloved. Listen, when God convicts them of their sin, it's not just because they lied to mama or lied to daddy. God throws the book at them, and they realize they're unclean. And the only way to be clean is to come clean with God and admit they're a sinner and to be saved by the grace of God. Look at Isaiah with me for a moment. Verse number 59. Turn over there for just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 59. I love this old book, don't you? It's a precious old book. The Apostle Paul, he's got it right. In Isaiah chapter number 59, I want to read verse 7 and verse number 8. The Word of God said, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. You know what I believe tonight? When we read verses like this, how many believes that God's people, pastor included, can do a better job worshiping than what we do? When we read verses like this, I think what we're prone to do is forget there was a day in our life when we didn't know the way of peace. When we read them, we shouldn't just be thinking about those that are still in that way, but we ought to be thinking, Lord Jesus, if you had to come to where I was, I'd still be in that way. I'd still have no peace. The Word of God said here, they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that the Lord is telling us this problem, this sin problem, is universal. It's everywhere. God has a plan. The cure is universal. But we need to understand that the problem is universal. In verse number 1 of that same chapter, the Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let me ask you a question. Listen to me carefully. If we'll do a little checkup right here. Listen. Do a little checkup right here. Who'd you pray for today that's lost? Who did you carry up before the throne of God today and call their name? Who? Who did you talk to Jesus about today? His hand's not shortened. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me. The Bible said here, and neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Listen to me tonight. I'm not fussing. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This does not just apply to the sinner. Think about what Paul said. I'm trying to remember the verse now. Let me see if I can get it over. It's over in Corinthians. I'm going to have to look it up, I believe. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Let me look it up. I believe I can find it. I believe I just know where it is. Brother John, did you get that Bible Sunday? You did? Okay, brother. See, I just now thought about it. That's why I gave that to charity. Because I would have done forgot about it Sunday. I appreciate that. Where is that verse of Scripture? Oh, my goodness. Some have not the knowledge. Here it is. Lord, thank you. Verse 34. Verse 34 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Word of God said in verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. Now let me ask you a question. Who's Paul preaching to here? Who's he preaching to? Is he preaching to the barroom crowd or the sinners? He's preaching to a church. a church that needs to mature. I don't believe I'd ever name a church Corinth. Amen? But the Bible said here, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Listen to me tonight. I just now picked up on something I've never seen in that verse of Scripture. Our job is not to save them. Our job is to give them enough knowledge, Bob, that they can be saved. That they can understand that they're filthy, that they're lost, that the whole world... I have this in my heart when I try to talk to somebody one-on-one about the Lord. I always tell them, it's not a holy Joe. It's not a preacher pointing my finger at you and saying you're a sinner. But it's a holy God that points his finger at the whole human race and said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there has to come a time in that individual's life when it's no longer somebody saying, all have sinned, but they come one-on-one with Jesus and they say, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where the help comes. So if you take that in light of Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. I'm telling you, beloved, it is iniquity for the child of God to live and breathe every day unconcerned about lost people that are down here in this world, and they're everywhere. It's iniquity. I'm afraid we're in a mold sometimes where we categorize sin. And honestly, what we've been seeing is that the consequences, yes, can be categorized. Some sins carry great big consequences. But beloved, listen, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, how many believes that's right? To him, it is sin. It is sin. And I believe sometimes, listen to me, I love you. I'm preaching from experience. Sometimes the reason I've lost my joy is because I'm walking in disobedience. I'm unconcerned about lost people. Unconcerned about the kingdom of God that Brother Don talked to us about when he was here preaching a while back. Beloved, listen, that ought to be our concern every day of our life. It's good. It's good, Brother Ralph, that Allison got saved. But there's more behind her that need to be saved. She told Miss Shelby when she got back, she said her mom and her daughter were weeping. She said they were tears of joy. I just want to tell the church tonight, they might have been and they might not have been. Say amen. I don't know. I can't judge a person's heart. But I know this, people need the Lord. And what God needs is for his people to realize that people need the Lord. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's go on down. The Bible said there's no fear of God before their eyes. The Word of God said, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You remember, go with me to Galatians real quick. Let's read a few verses in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. I know you've read these verses before, but they fit hand in hand with what Paul is saying here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 21, Paul said, is the law then against the promises of God? He says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's all we've tried to preach about tonight. Everybody's under the same umbrella, under the sin umbrella. And the Word of God said the Scripture concluded all under sin. And this is what I like. Remember I told you there was a universal calamity in sin. Maybe next Wednesday night we're going to see the universal cure. He said God concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. What was the law's purpose? To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. I believe that's right, don't you? After faith has come, beloved, that doesn't mean you do away with the law. Paul said, God forbid. But beloved, listen tonight. Nobody's ever been justified by the law. Somebody said to me one time, said, well, what about Galatians? Whosoever you have justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. People like to use that verse of Scripture, Brother Ralph. I'm sure at one time you know exactly what I'm going to say, Brother Ralph. They use that to say, well, you can be saved and then you can be lost. But my question is this. Ye that are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Let me ask you a question. How many's ever been justified by the law? How many has ever been justified by the law? Not one. None. Nobody's ever been just. What Paul is saying in that scripture is, if you're going to look to the law for your ticket to heaven, you have fallen from the grace of God, which really is the only ticket to heaven, the only way that we can be saved. Let me give you the lyrics of this song and we'll close tonight. Listen to the words carefully, please. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. I thought about Larry when I read that. I said, Larry, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. He said, I've been fearful for some time now. Beloved, if you're 71 years old without Christ, you need to be fearful. But I'm going to tell you something else. If you're 11 years old without Christ, you need to be fearful. The Word of God tells us that. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. The chorus, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Here's the question. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life, Brother Gary, with one that's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will, at the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? We'll get to hear that in our church soon, I believe. Brother Grizzles, he was singing that second verse. I thought about the years here at Bible Way. and thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars have been given to missions. Coulter called me this afternoon. He's down in Alabama. They let him go into school down there and preach. In school. Honey, there's hope. Coulter ain't never seen nothing like this. Bob, he preached, and 30-some eighth graders came forward and trusted Jesus. Between the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, they had over 60 kids saved by the grace of God. People need the Lord. It's an exciting life just to be an instrument in the hands of an almighty God. I've often said the next best thing to being saved, Brother John, is just getting to take his old book and point somebody else to Calvary. It's wonderful. People need the Lord. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. I felt a real good liberty tonight. I think it's because I didn't have a tie on. Somebody out there was praying, loose him and let him go. They said Brother Richard was looking for me, and since I had this shirt on over there talking to Brother Grizzle, he didn't know where I was at. Need to get me one of them Lamar Alexander shirts, that red plaid. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Boy, what if every one of us, I mean seriously tonight, Sister Helen, what if every one of us went out of this building tonight and said, God, between now and Sunday, let me run into somebody that needs the Lord. I'm not talking about some kind of pushy stuff. That stuff ain't nothing but junk. But just loving on somebody like y'all are, that young lady, that family. Amen. Ain't God good? Y'all ready to go home?